الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. قال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال سبحانه وتعالى لقد جاءكم من الله نور وكتاب مبين. وقال سبحانه وتعالى إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. وقال سبحانه وتعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقال سبحانه وتعالى ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض لك ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. Respected ulama, my respected elders, my brothers, my sisters and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin as always by first thanking you, my host, for giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accepts these efforts of yours in listening to this message, as I pray to the Almighty Allah that Allah accepts these efforts of mine in delivering this message. My friends, many great people, great for one reason or another, have come and gone. Some of them lay buried in the womb of the past, forgotten. Their greatness restricted to their eras. While some are remembered to this very day, though hundreds and hundreds of years have passed since they've died. If every man or woman who was considered great was taken one at a time and the same question posed every time, how great was this man? Or how great was this woman? I assure you, my friends, it would not take long to answer this question and summarize the greatness of this particular man or woman. Why? Because every man or woman who was considered great besides the prophets of Allah, they were considered great because he or she possessed a quality or two, or to the most, a few good qualities which made them great. They were great either because they were inventors, they were great either because they were great leaders, they were great either because they were great thinkers, they were great either because they were reformers, lawmakers, They were great because they possessed this quality which made them great. However, if our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken, and the same question posed, how great was the Nabi of Allah? How great was this man? I assure you, my young friends, you will not be able to answer this question. Why? Just as the poet says, بَلَغَ الْعُلَى بِكَمَالِهِ كَشَفَ الدُّجَى بِجَمَالِهِ حَسُنَتْ جَمِيعُ خِصَالِهِ صَلُّ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. Allah assembled all the excellences and virtues of character in the person of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Immediately his simplicity will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. His hospitality will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. His kindness and love and compassion will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. His benevolence and generosity will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. His selflessness will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. His patience, his forbearance will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. His leadership will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. His courage will come to mind, because that had reached the peak of excellence. My friends, these attributes will keep on coming to mind. These excellences will keep on coming to mind. Your brain will be bombarded. They will come from all directions. And before you know it, you will become puzzled and confused. And you will acknowledge your weakness. And you will say, I cannot answer this question. And if somehow or another, you had it within you to begin to answer this question, you were brave enough and you were courageous enough in trying to attempt to answer this question, then I swear by Allah, your life will come to an end, but you will not be able to justice to this question. And today I have been asked the very same question. How great is the Nabi of Allah? Or how great was our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the reality is, I see an ocean before me. This ocean has no beginning, and this ocean has no end. No matter how good of a swimmer I may be, and no matter how hard I try, I will never be able to get to the other side, because there is no other side. No matter how hard I try, I will never be able to do justice to this title. Justice has never been done to this title in the past. Justice will not be done today. Justice will not be done in the future. How can justice be done when the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi named him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? يَحْمَدُهُ أَهْلُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So that all those within the heavens and the earth, they praise him and they keep on praising him right till the day of judgment. Thus, I confess my weakness before I even begin, and asking Allah for help. I ask you, my young friends, what do you think is the status of such a prophet who has been praised by that being? وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. Every living thing within the entire universe praises him. The Lord of the Arsh and Kursi himself, the Lord of the seven heavens and the earth, the Almighty Allah himself. Open the book of Allah and look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes you will see the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi saying, لَكَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a light of guidance. Sometimes you will say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your character is sublime. Sometimes you will hear Allah saying, وَدَائِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like a lamp spreading light. Sometimes you will hear Allah saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْآلَمِينَ Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy for the whole of mankind, the humankind, the jinn kind, the whole of the worlds. My friends, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi? That before this material existence, in the spiritual world, Allah took a compact with every prophet. He took this compact with Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, with Ibrahim alayhi salam, with Musa alayhi salam, with Isa alayhi salam, with Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam. And Allah asked him the question, O Adam, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent in your time, will you believe in him? لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ O Adam, will you believe in him? Will you acknowledge his greatness? And will you help Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Adam responded, أَقْرَرْنَا O Allah, if you send Muhammad in my time, I will believe in him, I will follow him, and I will help him. Allah asked the same question to Nuh. Oh Nuh, if I send Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your time, will you believe in him and will you help him? Nuh alayhi salam responded, Akrarna, oh Allah, I will believe in him and I help him. What do you think is the status of such a Nabi? That every prophet of Allah, 124,000 prophets, more or less, they acknowledge his greatness and they said to the Almighty Allah, oh Allah, if you send him in our time, we will believe in him and we will help him. I ask you, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi whose mention has been raised by the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi? Open the book of Allah. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? Allah is saying, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are so dear to me that I have raised your mention. O Muazzin, O caller to prayer. When you call to prayer, you will mention my name. You will mention the name of the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi. And with it, you will mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And with it, thereafter, you will say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. If you do not mention the name of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your adhan will not be accepted. You will have to repeat your adhan. When you give the iqama, you will mention my name. And with it, you will mention the name of my beloved Muhammad. And if you do not mention the name of my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your iqama will not be accepted. When you enter the fold of Islam, you will say, La ilaha illallah. And with it, you will declare, Muhammadur Rasulullah. If you do not believe in the Prophet of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not a Muslim. You will not be classed as a believer. When you are given a khutbah, whether it is a khutbah for Jummah, whether it is a khutbah for Nikah, whether it is a khutbah for Eid, you will mention my name, and with it you will mention the name of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you are in prayer and you are sitting in tashahud, you will say, At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawatu, wa-t-tayyibatu, and with it you will mention, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you do not take the name of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in prayer, your namaz will not be accepted. I ask you, my young friends, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi that the kuffar want to see a sign? The kuffar want to see a miracle which proves that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly is the messenger of Allah. The hadith is in Bukhari. The hadith is in Muslim. The narrator is Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Just as if you have gathered here today, the kuffar have gathered in Makkah al-Mukarramah and they want to see a miracle which proves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. They are waiting to see this sign. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and with his blessed finger, he points towards the moon. The Quran says, in shaqqa al-qamar, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed towards the moon was in one piece no more. The moon literally split. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فِرْقَةً فَوْقَ الْجَبَلْ وَفِرْقَةً دُونَهُ Half of the moon to one side of Mount Hira and the other half to the other side of Mount Hira. And you could see this with your own eyes. Two halves of the moon. And then the moon came back together again. I ask you, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi? That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returning from Taif. He decides to stop at a place called Batr Nakhla. It is nightfall. He wakes up for tahajjud and he engages himself in tahajjud and he stands before the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi and he begins to recite the Quran in such a beautiful voice, in such a beautiful style, in such an elegant style that a group of jinn listening, when they heard the recitation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there and then in that gathering, that jinn said, Inna sami'na Quranan ajaba yahdi ila rushdi fa amanna bih wa lan nushrika bi rabbina ahada. And they testified in that gathering, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah, that we testify there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly is the messenger of Allah. Not only this, they go back to their people and they say, Ajibu da'i Allah, answer the caller of Allah. I ask you, my young friends, what do you think is the status of of such a Nabi to whom a piece of meat spoke to and he saved his life. The kuffar plot to kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith is in Bayhaqi. The Jews get together and they want to put an end to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A Jewish woman named Zainab, she takes on the responsibility. She takes a goat, she slaughters the goat, and then she roasts the mutton, and then she puts poison inside the mutton. Her intention is to put an end to the Prophet of Islam. And then she takes this poisoned mutton and gives it as a gift to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meat itself spoke and said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, do not eat me, there is poison inside me." I ask you, my young friends, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a place called Zura? The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He is with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. It is time for salah. There is no water for wudu. The Sahaba come to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, there is no water for wudu. How shall we offer our prayer?" Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked for a cup. And then this cup is given to him. He places his finger inside the cup and water begins to spring forth from amidst his fingers. Over 300 people, the narration says, 300 people perform wudu without water. I ask you, my young friends, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi on whose separation even trees would begin to cry? The hadith is in Bukhari. Whenever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon, he would lean on the palm of a date tree. The Sahaba now make a minbar, a pulpit for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a Jumu'ah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now comes to the new pulpit, to the new minbar. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed the minbar, the tree could not bear the separation. And at the love of Rasulullah, and at this separation, the tree begins to cry. The hadith states, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descends the minbar, and he makes his way to the tree, and he embraces this date tree, and keeps on embracing it till it quietens. I ask you, my young friends, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi that even trees and animals acknowledge his prophethood and they testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly was the messenger of Allah? The hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is on a journey. A Bedouin advances. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Bedouin, "Testify there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and testify Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly is the messenger of Allah." My friends, the Bedouin says to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Show me a sign which proves that you truly are the messenger of Allah." There is a tree at a distance. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam points towards the tree and calls the tree, "Allahu Akbar." The hadith states, فَأَقْبَلَتْ وَهِيَ تَخُدُّ الْأَرْضُ خَدَّى. The tree began to walk, began to rush from its place, and stood before the Messenger of Allah. And in front of that Bedouin, the tree said thrice, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That I testify there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is amongst his Sahaba, a Bedouin from Banu Sulaym. He has just caught a lizard. He's going to take this lizard home to roast and eat. He passes by a group of people. He asks these people, "Who is this man that you're gathered around?" They respond, "هَذَا الَّذِي يَذْكُرْ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ." This is the man who claims that he is the messenger of Allah, that he is the prophet of Allah. My friends, this man from Banu Sulaym, he pushes the people aside. He makes his way to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he insults the messenger of Allah with the words. He says, "وَاللَّاتِ وَالْعُزَّى مَشْتَمَلَتِ النِّسَاءَ أَلَا ذِي لِهْجَةٍ أَبْغَضَ إِلَيَّ مِنْكَ وَلَا أَمْكَدْ. I swear by the idols Lat and Uzza, no woman has given birth to a son, to a man, which I hate more than you, and which makes me angry more than you." And then he said to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Had it not been for the fear that my people would accuse me of being his, I would have killed you long time ago, and I would have made all the people happy." Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is there in the gathering. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, allow me to kill him. Allow me to behead him." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "No." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to the Bedouin and asks him, "Ma hamalaka ala ma qulta ma qult? What made you say what you did? Why did you dishonor me in this manner? Why did you insult me in front of my companions?" He insults Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a second time with the words, "Wallati wal uzza, la amantu bik aw yu'minu bika hadha dhab. I swear by the idols Lat and Uzza, O Muhammad, I will not bring iman in you till this lizard doesn't bring iman on you. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to the lizard and speaks to the lizard. The lizard responds in the Arabic language, Labbaik wa sa'adaik, O Messenger of Allah, I am present. Ask whatever you like. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks the lizard, Man ta'bud, tell me, O lizard, who do you worship? The lizard responds in the Arabic language, Alladhi fis samai arshuhu, wa fil ardi sultanuhu, wa fil bahri sabiluhu, wa fil jannati rahmatuhu, wa fil nari iqabuhu. I worship that being whose rule is within the heavens, whose rule is within the ocean, whose mercy is in paradise, whose punishment is in hell. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the lizard, okay, who am I? The lizard responds, Rasul Rabbil Alameen, Khatamun Nabiyyin, Qad aflaha man sadakak, wa qad khaba man kazabak. You are the messenger of the Lord of the universe. You are the Khatamun Nabiyyin. You are the last and final prophet. You are the seal of prophethood. Qad aflaha man sadakak. Successful is he who believes in you, who has taken you to be a prophet. Wa qad khaba man kazabak. Unsuccessful is he who denies you, who doesn't believe in you. That very Bedouin who said these words to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that gathering he testifies, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And then he says to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, I came to you in such a state, there was no one I hated more than you. But now, O Messenger of Allah, you are more dear to me than my parents. You are more dear to me to even myself. I ask you, what do you think is the status of such a Nabi who was made the Imam of the Anbiya on the night of Mi'raj? He was made the Imam of all the Prophets. It's the night of Mi'raj. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. And there in Masjid al-Aqsa, all the Prophets have been made to gather. They have been made to assemble. All 124,000, more or less Prophets, they are waiting in Masjid al-Aqsa. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam is there. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is there. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is there. Ibrahim is there. Ismail is there. Dawood is there. Sulaiman alayhi salam is there. They are all there. It is time for prayer. Adhan has been called. Every Prophet is waiting anxiously. Who will be given this honor today that he will lead the Anbiya alayhi salam in prayer? The hadith states, Sayyidina Jibreel Amin pushes our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forward and says, Ya Rasulullah, this status and honor is only yours. You are the Imam of the Anbiya. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes forward and leads the Anbiya in prayer. I say, whichever honor Allah bestowed upon a Prophet, whichever honor Allah bestowed upon a Prophet, whichever miracle Allah gave a Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed that very same honor, gave that very same miracle, or one better to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Allah honored Hazrat Adam alayhi salam by making him the first Prophet, then I say Allah honored our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَمَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. That he honored him by making him the last and final prophet and the seal of all prophets. If Allah honored Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, that the Quran says, Ullimna mantiqa tayr, that he would be able to speak the language of birds and he would be able to communicate with them and speak to them. Then I say the hadith of Rasulullah states, فَمَسْتَقْبَلَهُ جَبَلٌ وَلَا شَجْرٌ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَقُولُ أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Allah honored our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a manner that whichever tree he passed, whichever mountain he passed, that tree and that mountain would address him and acknowledge his prophethood, and they would say to him, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. If Allah honored Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and how did Allah honor him? Allah called him to Mount Tur. Allah called him to Mount Tur. Allah told him to purify himself. And then Allah called him to Mount Tur. And then Allah conversed with him. Inni ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. How did he honor our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Open the book of Allah and you will see. فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِهُ أَدَنَا فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ أَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَآ أَفَتُمَارُونَهُ عَلَىٰ مَا يَرَى لَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى إِذْ يَغْشَى السِّدْرَةَ مَا يَغْشَى مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. If he honored Musa by calling him to Mount Tur, I say he honored our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he took him where no human being has ever been before. But some narrations go as far as saying that Allah revealed himself and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his eyes. Allah showed himself to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw his creator. If Allah honored Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam
يُصَبِّحْنَ مَا هُوَ الطَّيْرِ, that the mountains and the birds would glorify Allah with him. If you open the hadith of Rasulullah, you will find that Allah honored our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would make the stones and food glorify Allah with him. If Allah honored Hazrat Adam alayhi salam by making the angels prostrate before him, Allah did not prostrate. It was the angels that prostrated. I say Allah went better, and he honored our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this way, that he ordered the angels to send durood upon him. Then at the same time, Allah declared, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi." The angels send durood upon this great being. I, the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi, also send durood upon this great being. O believers, you will also send durood upon this great being. If Allah honored Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, when Allah answered his prayer, when he made the dua, "Rabbi, la tazar al ardi min al kafirina dayara, innaka intadharhum yadhillu ibadak, wala yalidu illa fajran kafara." If Allah honored Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam by answering this prayer of his when he made dua, "Ya Allah, wipe them all from the face of the earth. If you don't wipe them, O Allah, all they will do is give, is that they will lead people astray and they will give birth to evil and non-believing people." If Allah honored the dua of Nuh alayhi salam, I say, which dua of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did Allah not answer? Which dua of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did Allah not answer? In the early days of Islam, Baytul Maqdis was the Qibla of the believers. When they offered their prayer, they would face Baytul Maqdis. In Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's heart, he would desire that this command is changed and that we don't face Baytul Maqdis. We face Masjid al-Haram. We face the house of Allah. And he would desire this in his heart. And he would look towards the heaven. He hasn't even raised his hands and asked Allah. So dear he was to Allah, that before he even raises his hands, Allah himself reveals, "Qad nara taqalluba wajhika fi sama." "O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I can see the turning of your face. I can see that you keep on looking towards the heaven, and in your heart, you want the Qibla to be changed. You are so dear to me, that you don't even need to raise your hands and ask, فَلَنَوَلِّيَنَّكَ قِبْلَةً تَرْضَهَا." I will make you happy with regards to the Qibla. "O Muhammad, the Qibla has been changed for you. You no longer need to face Masjid al-Aqsa. You can face the Baytullah. You can face Masjid al-Haram from now on." Jumu'ah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is delivering a sermon. All of a sudden, a Bedouin comes. And he says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, halak al-mal, waja'a al-ayal, fad'u Allah lana." "O Messenger of Allah, our properties have been destroyed. Our crops have been destroyed. There has been no rain. Our animals are dying. Our children are suffering and dying of thirst. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it rains." The narrator says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raises his hand in such a state, وَمَا نَرَى فِي السَّمَاءِ قَزْعَةً. There is not a single cloud in the sky. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand and made dua, before he puts his hand down, all of a sudden black clouds appear from nowhere and it rains, and it continuously raining for 7 days. So much so, the next Jumu'ah, the very same Bedouin comes to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, there has been too much rain, and as a result, our properties have been destroyed, and our animals are suffering. Oh, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it stops raining." And this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua, "Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna." "Oh Allah, upon our surroundings and not upon us." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is receiving revelation. His head is in the lap of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Ali has not offered his Asr Salah. His Salah is on the verge of becoming Qadha. The sun is on the verge of setting. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a dua, "Allahu Akbar. Allahumma innahu kana fi ta'atika wa ta'ati rasulik. Fardud Ali Shams." "Oh Allah, Ali was busy serving you and your messenger. Bring back the sun." The narrator says, Allah brings back the sun. Sayyidina Ali makes wudu, offers his Asr Salah, and only after this does the sun set for a second time. Utba, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reading the verses of the Quran, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ظَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Utba insults Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua, سَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ كَلْبًا مِّن كَلَابِ. May Allah send one of his dogs upon you. Utba now leaves for Sham with a few of his companions. And as they are going to Syria, to Sham, he saw a lion on the way. All of a sudden, he begins to shake. His companions ask him, "Why have you become afraid? Why are you shaking?" He said, "I've seen the lion. Nabi Kareem, Muhammad has prayed against me. This heaven has not given shelter to a man more truthful than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is nightfall. They take all precaution. They take all their goods and heap them one on top of the other. And they make Utbah sleep at the peak of this heap. And all his other companions, they surround him and sleep around him to keep guard. At night, the lion comes. Whilst they are asleep, he smells them one by one and he does not touch them. When he comes to Utbah, he smells him and he chews off the head of Utbah. And in his last throes, Utbah said, "Did I not tell you there is no one more truthful? The heaven has not given shelter to a man more truthful than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is in so much pain, that he's making dua to Allah. Allahumma in kana ajali kad hadar fa'arihni. Oh Allah, I beg you, if the time for my death has come, then oh Allah, I want you to relieve me. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua for Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ki oh Allah, make Ali better. There and then Sayyidina Ali stands up, as if Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had never been ill. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes dua for Sayyidina Urwa al-Baraki. Ki oh Allah, give barakah for him in his business. Urwa al-Baraki says, "I would not return home on a daily basis till I had not earned and profited 40,000 every day. 40,000 every day. If Allah honored Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam by answering his prayer, then I say, which prayer of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not answer? It is enough for the status of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he was the Mahbub of Allah. He was the Habib of Allah. The most dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved of Allah. Let me tell you what it means to be the Mahbub of Allah and what it means to be the beloved of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah himself paved the way for his coming. When Allah wanted to send him into this world, because he was the Habib and Mahbub, there was an inqilab, there was a great revolution which was taking place in every corner of the globe. Allah himself was preparing for his advent. It was like Allah indirectly was now telling the world that the Habib and the Mahbub of Allah will be sent. Strange and extraordinary things began to happen. In one hadith is mentioned, إِرْتَجَسَ إِيْوَانُ قِسْرَ وَسَقَطَتْ مِنْهُ أَرْبَعَةَ عَشْرَ شَرَافًا وَخَمَدَتْ نَارُ فَارِسٍ وَلَمْ تَخْمُدْ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ أَلْفَ عَامٍ وَغَادَتْ بُحَيْرَ صَابَ. That the night Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, there was an earthquake in Persia. And the palace of the Persian king shook. And 14 balconies fell. The signs were that the Persians were the superpower of the time. The signs were that very soon the Persian rule will come to an end. And it will be the rule of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will spread throughout the world. وَخَمَدَتْ نَارُ فَارِسٍ. The Persians used to worship fire. And for 1,000 years this fire had never gone out for one day. And the night Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, the fire of Persia was no more. وَغَادَتْ بُحَيْرَ صَاوَى. The night Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, even the sea of Sawa went dry. Before Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent into the world, the shaitans would go towards the heavens, the jinn and the shaitan, and they would try to see if they can snatch some news of the unseen. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent in the world, now the heavens were heavily guarded. And fierce meteors were thrown upon the shaitan and the jinn that would try to go up to see if they can snatch any news of the unseen. The jinnat became crazy and began to inform their companions of this prophet. One jinn is saying, ya dhubab, Ismail ajab al ujab, bu'isa Muhammad bil kitab, yad'u bi makkata fala yujab. O dhubab, listen to a strange and wonderful thing. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been sent. And he is calling people to la ilaha illallah in Makkah. And his call is not answered. Another jinn is saying, ya jali amrun najihun, rajulun fasihun, yakulu la ilaha illallah. O jali, a strange and wonderful thing is this, that an eloquent man is saying la ilaha illallah. The hadith of Ibn Asakir suggests that the night Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, angels began to fall flat on their faces. I mean, idols began to fall flat on their faces. The kuffar, the mushrikeen, are gathered around one of their idols, and they found that the idol is flat on its face. So they put the idol straight, and in right before their very own eyes, the idol falls down for a second time. They place the idol straight again, and for a third time, the idol falls flat on its face. This was the night in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. The signs were that very soon all this polytheism will come to an end, and the light and the nur of the Quran and the nur of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will spread through the world. People began to see strange and wonderful dreams. Amr ibn Murrah saw a dream before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just when he was sent. He saw a dream that he was in Makkah, and all of a sudden, whilst he was in Makkah in the days of Hajj, all of a sudden a light rose from the Holy Kaaba. And this light kept on rising, till it brightened the mountains of Madinatul Munawwara. And from this light came out a voice saying, "In qasha'ati dhulama wa sata'a ad-diya wa bu'itha khatimul anbiya," that the darkness has disappeared, the light has risen and spread, and the last of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has been sent. His own grandfather Abdul Muttalib saw a strange dream. He saw that from his back, a chain has come out. And this chain is touching the heavens, and to one side to the east, and to the other side to the west. And all of a sudden this chain, it turns into a tree. And on every leaf of this tree, there is nur, there is light. And this light, 70 times brighter than the sun. On every leaf of this tree, there is light, which is 70 times brighter than the sun. And all the people from the east and west are holding the branches of this tree. There are people from the Quraysh. Some are trying to hold the branches of the tree, while some are trying to cut the branches of the tree. And every time they try to cut the branches of the tree, there is beautiful, handsome young man who is stopping them from cutting these branches. Abdul Muttalib was told that from your progeny there will be this man who the entire world will follow. And then Allah paves the way for his coming. Allah chooses the best of all times for him. Allah chooses the best of all tribes, the Quraysh, and then the best of all clans, the Banu Hashim, and the best of all families. And Allah makes it so that when he put him inside his mother's stomach, you know, women, when they begin to expect a child, they naturally feel pain. But our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our beloved prophet, was so dear to Allah that when he put him inside his mother's stomach, Hazrat Amina, she felt no pain whatsoever. And when he came into this world, Zakaru ibn Sa'd, when he came into this world, our children are normally in need of a bath. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into the world, there was not a single speck of dirt on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body. So blessed and dear to Allah that the day he came into this world, the house of Rasulullah is filled with nur, with light. And the stars have come so clear. And all these you can find in the historical narrations. The stars have come so clear, so close, that it looked like the stars were going to fall. And at the same time, light comes out from his mother. She's in Makkatul Mukarramah. And this light comes out from his mother, and it hundreds of miles away, it sheds luster for her on the palaces of Syria while she's in Makkatul Mukarramah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into the world, and Allah himself names him Muhammad, so that all those within the heavens and the earth can praise him and keep on praising him till the day of judgment. His mother, Hazrat Amina, is told in a dream that you are carrying the best of creation, and you will name him Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he comes into the world, you know, our children, when they're in the cradle, it is normally the mother that rocks the cradle. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so dear to Allah that the hadith suggests, "Inna mahdahu kana yataharraku bitahriki al-malaika," that the angels would rock the cradle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they would play with him. The hadith suggests that he would play with the moon. He would speak with the moon and he would point, and the moon would bow down in the direction in which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would point. قال الصابوني هذا حديث غريب الإسناد والمتن وفي المعجزات حسن. When we are ill, it is our mother that normally watches over us. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send Sayyidina Jibreel Amin to go ask Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Then Allah gave him a heart that he ordered the angels to wash this qalb and this heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the best of all water, Zamzam, and it was washed in a tray of gold. And then in this heart, ثم مليا إيمانا وحكمة, Allah filled this heart with iman and Allah filled this heart with hikmat, with wisdom. Allah gave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam such eyes. The hadith states, يرى بالليل في الظلمة كما يرى بالنهار في الضوء. That our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to see during the night in darkness, just as he was able to see during the day in light. Balki some narrations like the one in Bukhari go as far as saying that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to the Sahaba, إني لأراكم من وراء ظهري, that I can actually see you behind me and the way you perform your ruku and the way you perform your sujood. So Allah had given him this ability that he could also see. Some ulama say that from this we derive that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could also see what was happening behind him. Allah gave such beauty to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the beauty of his face would put the moon and sun to shame. The hadith of Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, it was the 14th night. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated in the masjid. And there was the moon of the 14th night. You know, the moon of the 14th night is so bright and so complete and so beautiful. So he says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid, 14th night. And there was the moon so beautiful, so complete and so bright. He says, I want you to see which was more beautiful. Was it the moon of the 14th night? Or was it the face of my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he says, I would keep on looking. I want you to engage which was more beautiful. So I would keep on looking. I would take one look at the moon. And I would take one look at my beloved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I had to come to the decision that the face of my beloved Muhammad was more beautiful than the moon of the 14th night. He says, because as much as I wanted to look at the moon, my eyes were transfixed on the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I would be able to look at the moon. Such was the nur that Allah gave him on his face. Yet the day he entered Medina, أضاء من المدينة كل شيء. Everything was, you know, became bright. And the day he died, darkness prevailed in Medina al Munawwara. Such was the nur on his face that our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, Ibn Asakir has recorded this, that she was sewing. And the needle fell. And she couldn't find the needle due to darkness. She says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came inside and entered. فَتَبَيِّنَتِ الْإِبْرَةُ بِشُعَاءِ نُورِ وَجْعِهِ. Because of the nur of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the needle revealed itself and I found the needle. Allah gave him such a beautiful and sweet voice that the voice of Rasulullah, its impact on hearts was incomparable. When Abu Zar heard the beautiful recitation of Rasulullah, such was the impact on the heart of Abu Zar that he testified, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When Tufail Dosi, he came with the intention of taking out mistakes of the Quran. He listens to the recitation of Rasulullah with the intentions that today he will follow the Quran and he will point out the faults of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's listening to the recitation, the beautiful voice enters his ears, and from his heart he utters the words, even though his intention is to take out faults, he utters the words, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Jubair ibn Mutim comes to Madinatul Munawwara. His intention is to free the kuffar that had been taken as prisoner in the battle of Badr. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in prayer. He's reciting وَالطُّورِ وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورِ. And as every verse Rasulullah was reciting, he says, it was having an impact on my heart. And when he got to the verse, Inna Adaba Rabbika Lawaqi, it was too much for me. And I uttered the words, Ashadu wa la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Allah gave him such a fragrance that whichever street our beloved Prophet passed through, he would leave this sweet fragrance behind. And it was as a result of this, the Sahaba would know that Rasulullah has just gone through this street or has just passed this alleyway. His perspiration, the fragrance of his perspiration was better than oud. And the Sahaba would actually use the perspiration of Rasulullah as the itr. Allah gave him such a height that Rasulullah was of average height. But when he sat amongst the people, Rasulullah would miraculously look the tallest from amongst them, and nobody would look taller than Rasulullah. Allah gave him such a walk that when Rasulullah would walk, literally the earth would shrink beneath him, and it was as a result of this the Sahaba would find it difficult to keep up with Rasulullah. Not only was there a revelation in the, there's an inqirab, a revolution in the dunya, any person or anything Rasulullah came in contact with, he brought a revolution and change into that particular thing. Amr comes and embraces Islam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of love and compassion, passes his hands over his head. Amr says, such was the impact of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that he passed his hands over my head. He says, even at the age of 100, those hair over which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand passed over, they did not become white even at the age of 100. Sayyidina Jabir is in a battle, participating in a battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he finds that his camel has become weak and finds it very difficult to continue. And as a result of this, it has fallen behind. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Jabir, "Oh Jabir, what's the matter with your camel?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, my camel has become old and it's become weak. It finds it difficult to continue." He says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came behind the camel and he gave it a goading. Such a goading. He says, after this camel came in contact with Rasulullah, my camel, even though it was the last, it surpassed every camel. A woman brings her son to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now he's no longer young. He's a young man. And she says to Rasulullah, "Inna ibni hadha lam yatakallam munz walid." O Messenger of Allah, this son of mine has never spoken. He has never ever spoken since birth. First time Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks to this child, this young man now, and asks him, "Who am I?" The child speaks for the first time, "Anta Rasulullah, you are the Messenger of Allah." A pod falls over the eyes of Sayyidina Habib, as a result of which he becomes blind. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam blows over his eyes. Immediately his eye is restored, so much so that the narrator says, his eye became so firm that it became even sharper than it was before this, so much so that he would be able to thread a needle even at the age of 80. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child would eat with the children of Abu Talib, when Rasulullah did not eat with them, their food would not suffice them and nor would it satisfy them. And as a child with Rasulullah would eat with the children of Abu Talib, the food would suffice them and also the food would be spared. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in a battle with Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks, "Oh Abu Huraira, do you have any food?" And Sayyidina Abu Huraira says, "Ya Rasulullah, tamarun fi mizwad." "I have these few dates." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes the dates in his hand and he makes dua. And then he says to Abu Huraira, "Go call the people, call them 10 by 10. 10 by 10 they came and they ate from this bag of dates. The whole army had eaten from these bag of dates, and these dates were exactly as Sayyidina Abu Huraira gave them to him. Balki a step further, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala ate from this bag of dates throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout the life of Abu Bakr, throughout the life of Sayyidina Umar. It was only during the life of Sayyidina Uthman when somebody had stolen this bag and this bag of dates had come to an end. Anything that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in contact with, this was the impact and change that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought into this thing. Allah on the day of judgment, my friends, will show each and every one of us, the whole of mankind, every human that Allah ever created, every jinn that Allah ever created, every shaitan, every bird, every animal, Allah on the day of judgment will show every one of us the true status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that day, my friends, is so severe. The Hazrat Qab says, كَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ وَافَيْتَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِمِثْرِ عَمَلِ السَّبْعِينِ نَبِيَّا لَأَتَتْ عَلَيْكَ طَارَاتٍ وَلَا يُحِمُّكَ إِلَّا نَفْسَكَ. I swear by the ones in whose hands my life is in. If you come on that day having done good deeds equal to the good deeds of 70 prophets of Allah, you came on that day that you had good deeds equal to the good deeds of 70 prophets of Allah, that day is so severe that he says times will come in which you will only be concerned about yourself. Why? يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْحَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةً أَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. That day is so severe that you will see that every nursing mother, she will forget her child. Every pregnant woman will be relieved of her load. You will see mankind in a drunken state. Mankind on that day will not be drunk, but the torment of Allah will be severe. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. You will see that man will run away from his brother. He will run away from his sister. He will run away from his wife. He will run away from his own flesh and blood, his own children. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Everybody will have enough which will make him careless of others. You will be afraid that on that day, that your own son might hold you in ransom and ask for his rights to be fulfilled in the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, you will run. Never mind run. The Quran clearly states, فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. There will be no relationship between one another on that day. No relationship between father and son. No relationship between mother and daughter. No relationship between brother and brother, sister and sister. وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. And you will not ask of one another. Never mind ask of one another. The Quran clearly says, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبٌ وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ. On that day, the guilty will begin to say, oh Allah, take my son in ransom, but do not punish me. Oh Allah, take my wife in ransom, but do not punish me. Oh Allah, take my mother and father in ransom, but do not punish me. Oh Allah, take all those within the dunya in ransom, and do not punish me. The Quran clearly states, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ. If you were that rich, that on that day, you presented an earthful of gold to the Almighty Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it on your behalf. Why? كَلَّا لَا وَزَرْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمُسْتَقَرْ يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرْ. On that day, you will come and stand before the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi. لَيْسَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. There will be no barrier between you and Allah. There will be no curtain between you and Allah. You will directly stand before your master. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرْ. On that day, Allah will inform you of everything that you did, good or evil. يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ. Your hands will begin to speak. Your feet will begin to speak. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. The earth will begin to speak and relate the information. On that day you will be raised. Every one of us will be raised. How? يُحْشَرَ النَّاسُ لَا أَرْضٍ بَيْضَى أَفْرَى. It will be a white plain. It will be the biggest congregation ever seen. The earth will be flat. There will be no mountains. There will be no hills. It will be stretched just like elastic is stretched. يُبْعَثَ النَّاسُ حُفَاتًا أُرَاتًا غُرْلًا. And you will be all naked just like your mother gave you birth. You will be all uncircumcised. You will be all barefooted just like the day your mother gave you birth. أَجْوَأْ مَا كَانُوا كَتُّوا. And you will be all hungry except for one who fed a poor person for the sake of Allah. أَزْمَأْ مَا كَانُوا كَتُّوا. You will be all thirsty except for one who gave water for the sake of Allah. أَنْسَبْ مَا كَانُوا كَتُّوا. You will be all tired except for one who helped for the sake of Allah. This is how you will be raised. You will be all standing together, intermingled. Man standing next to shaitan, shaitan next to bird, next to jinn. Like this, you will all be on top of one another. On top of one another so much that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْأَقْدَامَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِثْرُ النَّبْلِ فِي الْقَرْنِ وَالسَّعِيدَ الَّذِي يَجِدُ لِقَدَمَيْهِ مَوْضٍ يَدُهُمَا. the feet on the day of judgment will be like arrows in a pouch, one on top of another. Unfortunate will be that person who can find a place for his feet on the day of judgment. And when you suffer like this, Allah will bring the sun. It will be above your heads. Then the hadith states, وَيُزَادُ فِي حَرِّهَا تِسْأَةٌ وَتِسْئِينَ دِفَاءً. The heat of the sun will be made to increase 99 times more hotter than it is today. It will be above your heads, and naturally you will begin to sweat. And the more sins that you committed in the dunya, this is how much sweat you will be in. There will be those in sweat up to their ankles. There will be those in sweat up to their knees. There will be those in sweat up to their waist. There will be those in neck. There will be those total in sweat. On top of this, tuftahu abwabu jahannam. Jahannam will be brought, and the doors will be open, and the burning hot air of Jahannam will roast your faces. Bellies will be burnt with hunger, my friends. And the smell will be worse than rotten corpses on the plain of resurrection. And you will be suffering like this. And when you suffer like this, you will not be able to tolerate it. And you will say to the Almighty Allah, Ya Rabbi irsaluka bi ilan nar, ahwanu alayya mimma ajid. O Allah, send me to Jahannam. I can't tolerate this punishment. I can bear it no longer. Because you will not be able to tolerate, you will say this nonsense. Wadna, what will you know what Jahannam is? And the punishment of Jahannam is eternal. It is everlasting. It will never come to an end. You will utter this nonsense and you will cry, and tears will flow from your eyes just like water flows in a drain pipe. And when no tears remain, blood will begin to flow from the same eyes. Blood will flow and flow, and you will remain in this condition for a period equivalent to 70 years, and you will suffer like this. You will know what to do. Then Allah will put it in your minds, and you will come for intercession, and you will see Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, and you will come to Hazrat Adam, and you will say, O Adam, anta abul bashar, khalakaka Allahu biyadi, wa nafakha fika min ruhi, wa amara al malaikata liyasjudu lak. فَاشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ أَلَا تَرَى مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ أَلَا تَرَى مَا كَدْ بَلَغَنَا. You will say, O Adam, أَنْتَ أَبُو الْبَشَرِ. You are the father of creation. خَلَكَكَ اللَّهُ بِيَدِهِ. You are so dear to Allah that Allah created you with His very own hands. وَنَفَخَ فِيكَ مِنْ رُوحِهِ. And Allah blew His spirit inside you. فَاشْفَعْ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Intercede for us. Go to Allah and intercede for us. Can you not see the suffering? Can you not see the difficulty that we're in? We can no longer tolerate this. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam will reply, Inna Rabbi kad ghadib al yawma ghadban lam yaghdab qablahu mithluhu wa lan yaghdaba ba'da mithluhu. Allah is angry today. Allah has never been angry like this before. Allah will never be angry like this again. I cannot go near the Almighty Allah. I disobeyed the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am worried about myself. Go to someone else. Go to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, and then you will come to Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, and you will address him. Ya Nuh, anta al-mursal ila ahli al-ard, wa sammaka Allahu abdan shakura. O Nuh, you are the first messenger to the people of the dunya. Allah honored you by giving you the title abdan shakura, by calling you a grateful slave. Intercede for us. Can you not see the difficulty that we're in? Can you not see the suffering? Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam will say, in no way, I curse my ummah. I do not know what is my outcome going to be. I cannot go to the Almighty Allah. Allah is angry today. Allah has never been angry like this. Allah will never be angry like this again. Go to someone else. Go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. You will come to Ibrahim alayhi salam and you will address him. Anta nabiyullah wa khaliluhu min ahli al-ard. You are the prophet of Allah. You are the friend of Allah. O Ibrahim, you are the dearest to Allah. Allah befriended you. You are the one that made the house of Allah. And you offered your son Ismail in sacrifice. Allah loves you. Go intercede for us. Can you not see the difficulty and suffering we're in? As Ibrahim will turn you down. In no way Allah is angry. I cannot go to him. I do not know what my outcome is going to be. He's going to send you to Musa. You will come to Musa and you will address him. Anta Rasulullah istafaka bi risalatihi wa bi taklimihi ala nas. Fashfa lana ila rabbik. O Musa, you are the messenger of Allah. Allah chose you with prophethood, and Allah honored you by calling you to Mount Tur, and Allah conversed with you. Go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Musa alayhi salam will say exactly the same thing. Allah is angry today. Allah has never been angry like this. I cannot go. I ended up killing a person. I do not know what if Allah holds me to task for this. Go to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. You will come to Isa and you will praise him and you will say, Anta Rasulullah wa kalimatuhu alqa ila Maryama wa ruhun min wa kallamta an-nasa fil mahd. You are the prophet of Allah and you are the word of Allah. You are the spirit of Allah conveyed to Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, and you spoke as a child in the cradle. This is how Allah honored you. Go to Allah. As the Isa alayhi salam will turn you down. Okay, no way. I cannot go to Allah. Allah is angry. I do not know what my outcome is going to be. He's going to send you to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you will come to Rasulullah. And you will praise him and you will say, Anta Rasulullah. الله وخاتم النبيين غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر فاشفع لنا إلى ربك ألا ترى ما نحن في ألا ترى ما قد بلغنا كأنت رسول الله You are the messenger of Allah خاتم النبيين You are the seal of prophethood You are the last and final prophet Allah under you O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم غفر الله لك ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر Allah has wiped your slain clean You have no sin You are free from sin This is how Allah has honored you Intercede for us Can you not see the suffering that we are experiencing and the difficulty that we're in? When you come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when everyone else turns you down and says, Nafsi, Nafsi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only one that will have the himmat to come to the Almighty Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will come to the Almighty Allah. فَأَخِرُ سَاجِدًا فَلَا أَزَالُ سَاجِدًا I will come to the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi and I will prostrate before Him and I will remain in prostration and while I am prostrating before the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi, Allah will reveal upon me praises. No human being or angel will ever praise Allah like this before. Allah will reveal Him to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will praise Allah with these praises and when he finishes praising Allah with these praises, Allah will then say, Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'sak سَلْ تُؤْطَى فَشْفَى تُشَفَى O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم raise your head ask for whatever you like today wherever you ask you will be given and this is when Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم my friends on that day will say يا الله أمتي أمتي O Allah have mercy upon my ummah have mercy upon my ummah come and judge and come and judge the people this is the status of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and every living being will see this on the day of judgment My friends, I want to conclude on this note. How my time has come to an end. How fortunate we are. How fortunate we are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to be the ummatis of this great being. How fortunate we are. If this is how Allah, how much love Allah has for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much love do you think Allah will have for those who follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of their life? And the least that we can do in today's gathering, my friends, the least that we can do in this gathering today, for me to actually weigh whether this gathering was a successful one or whether my coming was successful or not, my friends, for me, it's simple as this, that we need to acknowledge the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we need to express our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way a believer can express his love is by making firm intentions that he will live by the teachings of Rasulullah, by the ways of Rasulullah, he will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect, and he will send salutations on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If the Lord of the Arsh and Kursi sends salutation on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we should also send salutation on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want every person to pledge that he will send salutations. By the grace of Allah, there are so many people here. I mean, sending salutations, my friend, a small salutation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another salutation, sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-ummi. 3-4 words, sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-ummi. If you were to read, sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-ummi, or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my friends, 100 times would take 1 minute. 10 minutes, you will be able to read 1,000. In 10 minutes, you will be able to read 1,000. I want every person to pledge at least 10,000. It will take you 1 hour. 1 hour to do 10,000. My friends, Allahu Akbar, look how many people are in this gathering. How happy do you think Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be if every person come as come pledge 5,000 to 10,000 durood, and that does not exclude me, balki me first. By the grace of Allah, I came with this intention and I more or less done mine. But I'm willing to do it again. How happy do you think Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be that in this gathering, whether you act upon what I've said or any other speaker, you know, it's irrelevant. If you do, alhamdulillah. How happy do you think Rasulullah would be and Allah would be that from this gathering, every person is doing 5, 5, 10, 10,000 durood. You know, between us, we could do at least 1 to 2 million durood. 1 to 2 million durood. And how happy do you think Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be? And I think that's the least, my friends, as believers and followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we could do. Allah give me the tawfiq to act upon what I've said. Allah give you the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.